So Ed and Ruth are away this week, so Ed had asked me a couple weeks to bring a message today. And like most times, it's always a little daunting because I can't ever speak about anything but kind of what God's done with in my life. And maybe it's somewhat applicable to other folks here. And this morning, I wanted to have a short message on just how God's been speaking to me through just a verse in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8, which talks about just Apollos and Paul. And in Paul's letter to Corinthians, he writes, what, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you that your word is living and active, Lord. That it's active in our lives. It reveals things about us that at times we'd rather not see. It instructs us. It comforts us. It builds us up, Lord. As Randy said earlier, and in the video that Stephen just showed, it instructs us to keep the eyes, our eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus. Lord, I would just pray as over the next couple of minutes we talk or I share about the last couple of weeks here and how your word's been active in my life, that if it is applicable, that it would have an impact on someone else here, Lord. And if not, Lord, it would just be a testimony to your goodness and your grace and your mercy, Lord, through my life. So I thank you for that. I thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. So if we've talked to you at all, you know that we spent most of our time here in North Carolina. We've been here since May of 2003, except for that one short year in Korea. But it was a good year, and while we were there, I know I've shared with most of you that people move in and out of there about a year basis, and so we're going to church there. And in the Bible study, we started going to the Bible study, and the person who was leading said, hey, would you mind picking up Bible study after I finish? After I go back to the United States. And I said, okay, that sounds okay. And at the Bible study, after a couple of weeks, I would realize that sometimes we would go and we'd have about seven or eight people in the Bible study, and sometimes it was five and sometimes four, and sometimes it was just Christina and I, because of course she had to go because I was going too. So, and it caused me really to kind of have some, you know, to grow quite a bit, because I wondered, what was the point? You know, if no one's going to show up, what's the point in doing this? And I thought about that this week, specifically as, or this couple week, last past couple weeks, as I thought about the message for today. And I just thought about those times we feel discouraged by the results we see, or discouraged by what we think the results should be. When we don't see the numbers, we don't see the pews fill, we don't see the people showing up for the Bible studies, or for Kids Corner, or for the children's ministries, when we don't see different things, how do we respond to all of that? And how do I respond to it? And I realize, again, if we're going to use the same language as the video, if we're being honest, I know that for me, it's because I'm a prideful person. And I'm thankful that maybe I don't have some struggles, but I do know that one of my big ones is pride. And does my pride get in the way when I look at these situations? Does it get in the way? Is it my will or his will that I want done? As the video talked about, am I coming up with something and then saying, Lord, bless this thing I've come up with? Is it my time or his? Because often I ask myself, is this worth the resources? Is it worth the time for me to prepare a lesson? Is it worth the time for me to show up and prepare all these things, or to spend energy or effort or money or resources to say, this is ready, but then no one's there? Is it worth it? Does it depend on what I'm doing? Is it something that I'm doing wrong? As if what I did would have an impact on whether it was successful or not. Like I could somehow add to or hamper God's progress in it? How do I know if it's something that God gave me? I can tell you in the last couple of weeks I've had both nudges and shoves. Shoves more because I probably ignored the nudges for long enough they became a shove. But I can definitely speak to two things that I'll share at the end that I feel that God had put on my heart over the last couple of weeks. And make that three, because one was just this week. So I thank him for that. So how do we go on, and how do I go on, and how do I make up for that? And how do I deal with this idea of, is this worth the resources? And again, much as we talked about with keeping our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, we have to look at what the perspective is. I'd look at what it was from Jesus' perspective. And we see repeatedly in Jesus' parable in Luke 15 how he views, even if it's just for that one person. If we look at the parables in Luke 15, we see three in a row that illustrate how much effort and how much worth God puts on that one individual, that one sinner, that one person that needs to be reached, that one person who's in need of comfort. We see it in Luke 4 when it talks about the shepherd who has 100 sheep and loses one of them. And Jesus' words ask, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home and calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. Or in verse 8, when he talks about the parable of the lost coin, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. And even more so, as we see that chapter continues, as we hear the parable of the prodigal son. And when the son comes back, the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, so they began to celebrate. So we can see that no matter what I might think about the time or the effort, we can see how God views the time and the effort. The time and the effort is worth everything. Because in each one of these, Jesus tells you, I tell you in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in the heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who did not need to. That one person who needs to hear that word, that one person who needs to be at the Bible study is worth the effort. They're worth it. And we worry about small results, and we still have problems, and I still have problems with that pride. And I look at the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, and we look at how far and wide the seed was sown. Not only was a seed sown on just those days where it looked like people were going to show up, or on just those things that we thought were going to be successful, but it was scattered everywhere. Because in those places we thought that it wouldn't, or we didn't see how it could sprout and grow, it does. Because as we read in Isaiah 55, God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. In fact, they're far above ours. And we can look at it with our own understanding, and I often do, and I can think, I don't see how this is going to work out. But yet again, I also have to hold tight to what's there after that part in Isaiah 55, where it talks about that God's word will accomplish its purpose. He says in Isaiah 55, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields for the sower, seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So as I come back and I think about the time there, what sustained me was the idea that it is worth it, even if it's just me showing up. It's worth it even if one person shows up. It's worth the effort. It's worth the time. It's worth the resources. Because as we see, God puts a premium on all of us. We are all made in his image. We are all infinitely valuable to him. And Jesus has died for all of our sins. So what then? So as I thought about it, I go, okay, it's worth it for the one. But what do we do now? Do we put in, how much resource do we put in? And we see this from Colossians, where it talks about Paul's words to servants or slaves, that we're to, whatever we do, to work at it with all of our hearts, as if working for the Lord, not for human masters. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So with all things, one, they're not mine anyway. My time isn't mine. My resources aren't mine. And the effort really isn't mine either. But I have to work as one who works for the Lord, working on just that small, what may appear to me, that one small group for that small little bit of gain. But then again, maybe I don't really understand what that small gain has to do. Because we know that we all work together. We all have different gifts. So some people have gifts that they're going to be encouragement. Some people are going to send texts with scripture verses, and that's how they encourage others, and that's a wonderful gift. They won't maybe all the time know or get a response about how that has an impact on the person who received it. Maybe that person is working together with someone else who is called and visited with that person. Maybe the person has gotten an encouraging word from them. Maybe they heard something in the service on Sunday or through a podcast that somebody else. Because I have to know in all of this, I can't be so prideful to think that it's only my effort that's going towards what God's using. It's everyone's efforts, because we're one body and we're all gifted with the Spirit. And that we may actually be seeing God using somebody else to do some of the watering after we've done the planting, or even if we've not even planted but just tilled the ground. So now, as we work to the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit who gives us these gifts, again, in faith, and I think back and I thought also about just the rebuilding of the temple. I think about just not despising small beginnings, because we can sometimes look at what appears to be something small and an insignificant start, but in reality, it's going to grow, much like they talk about the faith in the mustard seed and starting as a smallest seed and growing to a tree that reaches the heavens. So now, as I thought about that, working in those, I come back to where we were with the Corinthians thing. So it's not me that's giving the growth at all. It may not even be me that's doing anything more than putting a drop of water onto it. But that being said, it doesn't make me any less responsible for what God's put before me. When I hear the nudging or the shoving of the Holy Spirit, I do know I need to do the work before me and not trust in myself or what I've done for the results, but to trust in God's purposes for what they might be. But above all things, praying that His will is done. And even if that will, then the work that is being done in my heart. Because I can tell you, in the time that we spent in Korea with me preparing those lessons, more work was done on my heart preparing for the lessons than I probably realized at the time. When I think about this past week, the things that I came up with, where I felt God nudging me, were things that I probably should be doing. So things like, you know, I do have a good amount of time I can go down and spend time with my grandfather who doesn't believe, and talk with him, and who is not very open to the gospel, to be sure. Some of the shoving is times where I can hear songs that Stephen picks out, and I can listen to those, and they can have such an impact on me, and I can reach out to other family members and start a dialogue with them after many years about what they believe and what's this life all about. That I've ignored the nudges for that one so long that it came more as a shove. Whether it's coming tomorrow night for the Bible study, do I know if anyone's going to show up? I don't. Do we know if anyone's going to come from the other churches? We don't. But it's something that I felt that God said, you know what, you need to be here. And if nothing else, there's a work done in my heart in laying aside my pride of looking at the busyness of my life and my time and my resources to show up, to be here. And even if nobody else shows up and it's just Ed and I sitting here at 7 o'clock tomorrow, that's okay. Because that's part of God working through me and working in me to build up my faith in Him. So again, I don't propose to say that this has any applicability to anybody else, but other than I do know that this is how I've seen God working in my life and through His Word over the last several weeks in three unique and very specific ways, and just how His Word is active, and we can look to it as a source of encouragement as we go through our lives and we listen for that still small voice, which again nudges and sometimes shoves us into action and sometimes gets our attentions in ways that we didn't expect. So again, I thank you for listening to me go up here and talk for a little bit about this, and I appreciate the time that and the opportunity that Ed offered me as well. And I appreciate the, again, more thankful for the work that God has done on my behalf through His Son, Jesus, and also in just the work of the Holy Spirit in convicting me of those things that I need to be convicted of and show me those things that I need to be shown for my own benefit. And I thank Him for that. You'll pray with me. Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You for Your Word, Lord. I thank You for how it speaks to us. I thank You for how it is active in our lives, Lord, how we can read it and it seems to speak into the very situations that we deal with daily, Lord. I thank You for the way that it just shows, Lord, how much value You have put on each and every one of us, Lord, that You don't give up on us, Lord, that You see value enough in each and every one of us that You would leave the 99 behind to come and find us, Lord. That You would invest the energy of countless believers to invest in our lives, whether it's through a passing word, whether it's through a message, a phone call, whether it's through hosting a Bible study to learn more about You and about who You are and how we give glory to You, whether it's picking songs or singing songs, giving prayers or taking offering, Lord. We just thank You for all of those people that You put in our lives that invest of their time and their energy into building us up. I just pray as we go through this week, Lord, that You would keep our minds active and attuned to Your Spirit, Lord, that we would hear those times that You need us to speak up, Lord, that You want us to step out in faith, as Ed would say, to believe that You have called us to do something, Lord, and to trust in You for the purpose, Lord, and know that in all things it's not what we do and it's not in our own strength, Lord, but it's in Yours. And we trust You for the results, and we trust You with the resources and the time and the energy that it takes to get there, Lord. And we trust You for Your guidance. And above all things, Lord, we thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son, which is our hope in this world, that we hope to share with others. And it's for Your glory that we seek, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.